Good evening, everybody. It's a privilege to share God's word this evening. Debo, this evening, I just want to look at a very familiar passage of scripture. I'm sure many of you will know the story. And believing that God will speak to us, or we will learn one of a few things from this little passage. It's about the call of Samuel. I'm sure you all know it. We have two Samuels seated here, so hopefully. But the question I want to ask is God calling you to himself, okay? Want to give you more of himself? Because that's the angle I want to look at this call. Is God calling us to himself? And I believe he is, you know, like what we heard in the morning. The Lord is always there. The problem is always on our side, okay? So is God calling us to himself? Is God, what are the signs that God is actually calling me or calling you? Are there some things that I can see that will make me know that, oh, actually, probably God is calling me and I just need to listen? Praise the Lord. Now, if you have your Bibles, please, if you like to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 3. Because it's a very familiar scripture. I have it on the screen here. Okay, I have it on the New King James Version. So we'll just read the first 10 verses and then we will take it little by little. Now, the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. And it came to pass at that time, while Eli was lying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see, and before the Lamb of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here I am." So he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." And he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." And he went and lay down. Then the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." So Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." He answered, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. So he rose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you did call me." And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down. It shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel answered, "Speak, for your servant hears." Praise the Lord. It's a scripture we all know. But we know that the story starts with Hannah, right? We know the story of Samuel starts with Hannah. Hannah was married to Elkanah. Elkanah had two wives, Peninnah and Hannah. And, you know, Peninnah had children. Hannah did not have any child. And so she petitioned God. She pleaded with God. That woman prayed. I mean, she prayed that even people thought, oh, the priest actually thought, "Is this, what is wrong with you? You're actually drunk." You know, she really, really petitioned God because she wanted a son. And then made a promise, made a vow. "Lord, if you give me a son, I will give him back to you." Hallelujah. We all know up to that point, right, in the story. Okay, so we are picking it from there. So the first thing is that Samuel didn't even have a choice. You know, I was looking at it, say, what in this our generations? You tell a child, say, "Look, okay, before you were born, I was actually praying to God for you. Now that you are born, now, okay, I am going to take you to the house of the Lord. You are going to live there all the days of your life, and you are going to serve him." Hallelujah. In this our generation, what do you think that child will say? Huh? Nived. What do you think that child will say? But Samuel was taken by his mom. And the Bible says in verse 1 here that the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. So he was ministering. Okay? Right from the young age, he went to the temple of the Lord and was ministering, learning under Eli to be a priest. But something struck me. You know, it struck me there that the Bible now says, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. On the same verse, he was ministering to the Lord. But yet, the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread vision. Imagine that. You are ministering, but yet no word of the Lord. Sacrifices were taking place in the temple, no word of the Lord. All the ceremonial cleansing, yet no word of the Lord. And I'm sure that the Torah was being read. The Pentateuch were being read. They were reading it. Yet, no word of the Lord. And the Bible says there was no widespread vision, nothing, no revelation, nothing coming out. They were reading it, doing all the routines. Yet, no word of the Lord. Is it possible that I could be ministering? Yet, no word of the Lord. Is it possible? We see it here, that's what was happening. That the boy was ministering to the Lord, the Bible says. Yet, the word of the Lord was rare. Is the word of the Lord rare in our lives? We will continue. We will look at it as we go ahead. Now, the Bible now says that it came to pass at that time, Eli was lying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see. Now, there was a problem with the priest. He could not see. I know this was kind of like a physical blindness, but you hear some preachers talk about there was also that spiritual aspect of it, that he could not see. Spiritually, he was blind. But the question that will come to us is, do you see spiritually? Is our eyes open to see beyond the things that are happening, to see into the spirit? There is a passage of scripture that any time I come across, you know, my eyes always, my heart always cries to God, say, God, open my eyes. And it actually was said by a prophet, you know, a non-Israelite prophet, Balaam. You know, when he was prophesying, when Balak told him, and said, come and curse Israel. But he said something that really makes me pray anytime I come across this in my daily reading. He said, the prophecy of Balaam, son of Beor, the prophecy of one whose eyes see clearly. And the prayer I always pray is, God, please open my eyes that I will see clearly. And he says, the prophecy of one who hears the words of God, who sees a vision from the Almighty, who falls prostrate, whose eyes are open. I'm praying, Lord, open my eyes. Because if you read even the New Testament, it was something that Paul in his letters will say, that your eyes of understanding will be enlightened, that God will give you a vision, a revelation of who he is. He will tell. There is that plea that we need our eyes to open to see Christ. And I tell you, Balaam, okay, actually saw Christ. Because even if you read that Numbers 24 from verse 17, I don't have it here. He actually looked at the children of Israel and where they were camping in their tent. He said, I see him. That's verse 17. He said, I see him, but not now. I behold him, but far off. A star will rise from Jacob, a scepter from Israel. That's who is he talking about? He has seen Jesus. He was just looking at people. If you read from verse 1, he said he just looked at Israel and said, oh, how beautiful these people are. But he said, I see somebody else. He could see Christ. Do we really see him, know him? You know, that also reminds me of the preaching Priscilla preached about Simeon. You know, Simeon could see in a baby the salvation of Israel. You know, that bothered, that you know, wondered me, how could he see that? That baby grew up, did miracles, went around doing good, preaching, fulfilling scriptures about him. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, and all the elders did not see what Simeon could see in a baby. Who do you see when you read about Christ? So my prayer is, God, please open my eyes so I don't go around blindly. Hallelujah. Let's just go ahead. Okay, so verse 3. And before the Lamb of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and why Samuel was dying. Now, if you read that from NIV, other version, the Bible actually says Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. He had positioned himself to actually receive close to the heart of God. You know, now we cannot come to the house and say to the church and just, you know, sleep and everything. But where is our heart? Where do we place our heart? Do we place our heart close to God, close to His word? Do we position ourselves? What do we think about most of the times? Is our heart at rest on God's word so that we are at least in a proximity where God can actually speak to us? Hallelujah. Now, all these are just preambles, okay? Right. Now, and the Bible now says, the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here I am." The Lord called him. He was close to the ark of God, and God called him. And he answered, "Here I am." That's good, right? But the Bible now says, he ran to Eli and says, "Here I am, you called me." Does that not happen? God is calling you, you run to man. God lays in your heart, he wants you to pray more. Oh, you go, oh, we need to be praying more and more and more and more and more and more. God is calling you, read scriptures. Pastor, I think we need to do Bible study Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I mean, God is stirring something in your heart. Oh, Benny Hinn is there. Let's go to Benny Hinn. Let's go to Ken Copeland. Let's go here. We are running here and there, but not settling down actually to get God for himself, for ourselves. Does that know what happened? God called Samuel. But he gone to Eli. He didn't understand. True, we will look at that. He didn't understand. He ran. Where do you go to? Is your heart at rest to know that God is actually the one calling you? Now, Eli did something or said something to him that is the worst thing you can tell somebody who is actually seeking God. Go back and sleep. The zeal in him is watered down. I mean, somebody's bothered, okay, yes, let's do it, okay. And then you go and meet somebody who is giving him counseling, and then they water everything down. I've been on both sides, you know. I've watered before, I've been watered down, and I've also watered people down. But now I've learned. But I've learned, it's true. We go, there's a fire burning. I perceive. Because I remember there was a time in my life where I perceived that God was calling me to something. I was having some dreams. You know, I don't know if you had some dreams, you wake up and say, I know there's a message in this dream, but I don't know what it means. I don't know if that happened to you. I've had many of that. And I went to somebody actually and said, look at the dreams. Some of them were a bit negative. And they said, okay, right, all right, okay, just take your pen, cancel it in Jesus' name. Cancel it in Jesus. Just do that. Cancel it in Jesus' name. I cancel. And honestly, that's what I did. Just cancel the dream. You know, when on my paper, I wrote it down. Cancel it. Cancel it. Cancel it. But this guy ran to to Eli. Say, and Eli said, what I done? But what happened? The Lord called again. I canceled my dream. But what happened? He continued. I keep having them. Different. I mean, you have gone to this place. Oh, maybe probably it brought you a little satisfaction. After a while, you find there's still a restlessness. What is happening? God is calling again. He's calling again. Say, oh, Samuel, the Bible says, the Lord called yet again. Samuel. So Samuel arose and went to Eli. Said, here I am, for you called me. He answered, I did not call, my son. Lie down. God calls us, we go here, we go there. Instead of going to the one who calls us, probably because in our ignorance we do not know. But one thing I do know is that God will lead us if we are sensitive enough, even if we need to go to somebody, because finally, eventually, God actually led me to somebody who actually told me, okay, who had a similar experience. And the person told me, this is what is happening. I was helpful to help me interpret, this is what your dream. I mean, when they interpreted the first part of the dream, they didn't even need to interpret everything. I already understood. Okay. So God actually leads us to people. You know, I think about Mary when the angel came and said, look, you're going to have, you know, you're going to conceive from the Most High. The Holy Spirit will overshadow you. Imagine that weight. She cannot go to people and testify, an angel of God appeared to me. I am going to carry the Messiah. No. Imagine what they will say. But the angel said, yes, your cousin Elizabeth is carrying something similar. Okay, go. God had to direct that to somebody. I mean, by the time they got close to each other, what was in them was already communicating. So that is what God does. Links us with people who carry the same similar thing. When God confronted Paul on his way, Saul, on his way to Damascus, oh yes, he had seen the Lord, but he has been persecuting people. God had to speak to him. He said, go and meet him. Because nobody would have received him. Even when he started his ministry, God had to send Barnabas. Barnabas was the one that went to look for him in Antioch. So God leads us to similar people. Hallelujah. So God called Samuel. But once again, again and again, he went to Eli. Then verse 6. The Bible says, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Nor was the Lord word of the Lord. Am I reading correctly? Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. I want to put that scripture in context. Okay? I have some similar scripture from chapter 2, verse 11. Then Elkanah went to his house in Ramah, but the child ministered to the Lord before Eli the priest. So the child ministered. Chapter 2, verse 11. Chapter 2, verse 18. But Samuel ministered before the Lord, even as a child, wearing a linen ephod. He was ministering, okay? Chapter 2, verse 26. And the child Samuel grew in stature, in favor with both the Lord and men. There was favor with both God and man. Chapter 3, verse 1, which we have looked at, the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. But yet, the Bible says in verse 7, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. He was ministering before the Lord. He was had favor. Yet, the Bible says, what? The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. He did not know the Lord. Is that possible? Ministering, yet. You know, that's scary to me. You know, when I read things like that, that makes me say, Lord, please. I don't want to just stand in front of people. I don't want to stand in front of young people and talk and not have my own experience of you and not know you. Because it reminds me of this scripture in Matthew, where he said, many will come to me on that day and say, we prophesied in your name, we cast out demons in your name, we've done many wonders, we did A, B, and Z. And then I would declare to them, I never knew you. He was ministering, yet the Bible says he did not know the Lord. Do you know the Lord? Probably because you do not know him, that is why he is calling you. Laying those things in your heart, say, come and know me. Come and know me for yourself. You've heard about me. You've heard sermons about me. Come and know me. Come and experience me. Come, let me speak to you. Come, let me reveal myself to you. Samuel was ministering. But for him to be an effective minister, he had to know God himself. So God was calling him, come. Is that probably why God is calling us to himself? Say, come to me. Then verse 8. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. Hallelujah. Thank God for God, who never gives up in calling us. Again and again. He knows that he was running to man. But yet God was saying, Samuel. Maybe I've been running helter-skelter. You've been going here and there. God is still calling. Samuel, Lekon, come again. So he arose. Oh, may God deliver us from running to the Elis. Okay, he arose and went to Eli again. Here I am, for you did call me. But the story now changed. You see, I put there in both. Then Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. You know, I pray for some perception among us that we'll be able to identify when people are restless. I mean, people are up and down doing things. You know, you think this person is not serious. Able to perceive what is actually going on. Because it takes maturity, it takes experience to be able to know, look, this boy has been, you know, Eli said, this boy has been coming, saying somebody is calling. I've not called. Oh, somebody higher is calling him. I pray that God will give us that perception. When somebody comes to you, you'll be able to perceive, okay, this is what is happening in this person's life. The Bible said, Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Verse 9, therefore, Eli said to Samuel, go, lie down, and it shall be if he calls you that you must say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. The first time in verse 5, Eli gave him a very wrong advice, said, just go and sleep. But now, he's telling him, okay, this is what you do. Go and listen. And friends, that's the best thing we can give, from the worst to the best. Eli showed that. Said, go and listen to the Lord. We need to teach ourselves, okay, about listening to him. Eli said, go lie down, and it shall be if he calls you. You must say, speak, Lord, for your servants hear. Most times, you know, like I read somewhere, somebody was saying that, no, most times we go before God and say, listen, Lord, your servant is speaking. But we are meant to do, listen to him. We are meant to be the ones that are listening to him. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And then in verse 10, the Bible says, now the Lord came and stood. He now knows that Samuel will be listening to him. Will not run to Eli again. What did he do? The Bible says the Lord came and, before he was just calling him Samuel. The Bible now says the Lord came and stood. Oh, when we assume that listening position, the Lord will speak. He will come close to speak. He came and stood and called as the other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, speak, for your servant hears. Is God calling you? Will you tell the Lord, speak, Lord, I am listening, and really give him your time. Really give him time so that you can listen, so you can hear. And if you read from verse 11, you see that God actually spoke to him, and even spoke to him about Eli, the judgment that is coming about to Eli. But one thing I noticed about Samuel is that as God spoke to him, he didn't give him, he wasn't very arrogant or proud. I am now the one God is speaking to. Oh, God is going to remove Eli. He was not, no. He was still submissive to Eli. He was still doing his priestly duties. If he was meant to clean, he was meant to clean the house or the temple, he was still doing it. He was still submissive. Hearing God did not make him, you know, the big man. Like some people think, oh, once God has spoken to me, oh, everybody, you know, go away. There's some people, you know, just become so puffed up because, oh, they've heard from God. They receive a revelation from God. That was not the case with Samuel. And just to round up, from verse 19, the Bible now says, so Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. None of his words fall to the ground. God was with him. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, knew that Samuel had been established as a prophet of the Lord. Then the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh, by the word of the Lord. God revealed himself by the word of the Lord. God wants to reveal himself to us by his word. Remember verse 1. Verse 1 says, The word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread vision. But now the word of the Lord was no more rare. Because God has found who? His man, Samuel. Is God's word rare in your life? In your family, in a situation, you're trying to say, what is God saying? Can God find you? The problem, as we heard this morning, it is not from God. It's always from us. Oh, that we will hear him. Because of Samuel now, the word of God was now appearing, was now coming, because he had somebody. God will speak when he has somebody who is listening to him. God will speak to us when we have somebody, when we listen to him. And just some points to finish on. Samuel had a lot to learn from Eli, because yes, he was going to minister. He was going to take over, you know. But, okay, for him to minister effectively, the word of God must be revealed to him. If we are going to be ministering effectively, and I don't mean, when I mean minister, I don't mean just standing here. We minister to one another, okay? You know, any form of ministration, stewarding, ushering, any form of ministration, if we are going to do it effectively, we need God's words to be revealed to us. There's a lot we can learn from each other. But most important, we must learn to teach other to listen, to be able to have that communion on our own. And not just realize, oh, there are some people, those people, yes, they will bring the word of God to us and I will just consume. The word of the Lord was rare because there was no man. But by verse 19, God had a man. It was no longer rare because of Samuel. God's word should not be rare in our family, workplace, church, because of you and because of me. Because I am here, because I have chosen to listen. God's word should not be rare. Samuel was known as having God's word. Will you be known? As New Testament believers, you know, every one of us are meant to be priests. Will you receive God's word? Because God can speak through you. Praise the Lord.